shepherd from all eternity. He was so appointed. In the covenant of grace, the Father gave to him a flock then, a flock of lost sheep, and David among them. And the Lord was charging his son, the Father was charging the son, if he would be the shepherd, that he must do Once he came to know the shepherd savingly, he could say, I shall not want. But before then he came to know his need. He came to know how great his wants were. He speaks of something of his spiritual experience, whether at that stage is perhaps not so clear, but the context would certainly not exclude it when he came to say, the pains of hell took hold in me, I grief and trouble found. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold in me, I grief and trouble found. That's the way the shepherd will save a sinner. That's the way the shepherd will find out a sheep. He will bring that sinner to know that he is lost, to know this. I, like a lost sheep, went astray. Something of the need that a guilty sinner has, who, because of his sinnership, and because of his guilt and his danger, and his liability to punishment, and his being in bondage, and defenseless in view of the devil, and his own lusts, wandering in the mountains of vanity, a prey to the beasts of the field. David, we say, came to know something of that, and so must every sinner who would ever come to say, the Lord is my shepherd. They came to know their need of a shepherd, and David and every sinner who is brought to the shepherd knows not only their guilt and learns not only of their total depravity, but they also come to know something of this, their total inability, their helplessness. I cannot shepherd myself. I cannot defend myself. I cannot guide myself. I cannot guide my own feet into the paths of peace. I cannot make myself holy. No, not in my own strength. Even though I would hear of the shepherd, in my own strength I cannot believe in him. I cannot come to him. He learned this, his condition, lost, as one was saying, in their own experience, lost, altogether lost as to any hope of their own righteousness and as to their own strength. And that was in David's experience before ever he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. But more than that was in his experience. It must have been that in the gospel, the shepherd was being revealed to David. That was a title indeed that the Lord made himself known by to the church. Very early on in the book of Genesis, in the early days of Revelation, that was a title the Lord was taking to himself in the revelation he made to Jacob when he was telling in vision to Jacob about the mighty God of Jacob. We're told, from whence cometh the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And David had knowledge of this relation, this gracious relation that Jehovah has to sinners. And it was and must be in the gospel, in the declaration of a Savior, and in the free invitation and offer and call of the gospel. David was seeing something of this. There is a shepherd. Have you come that far if you're here and have some sense of sinnership and need? In view of eternity, is this itself not glad tidings? There is a shepherd. David learned that. There is a shepherd. There is a Savior. And that Savior was made known to David. That Savior was made known to him. In the word he was revealed, in the promise, in the sacrifices, in the ceremonies and shadows of the Old Testament church, and moreover, by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, enlightening his mind in the knowledge of Christ. And what David was saying was this: how suitable is the shepherd? I, a lost sheep on the one hand, the good shepherd on the other hand. I, a guilty sinner on the one hand, he having laid down his life on the other.
are then, David, and you're lost and you cannot find your way back. And he was crying then to the shepherd, thy servant seek and find. Thy servant seek and find. And that's glad tidings to the lost sheep. As Ezekias learned, the Son of Man, that is just the same as the shepherd, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We read of how the shepherd left the 99 in the wilderness, went after the one sheep that had gone astray, went and did not rest until he found that sheep and brought it home in his shoulders rejoicing. And David saw something of the shepherd coming to him, and understood something of the terms of salvation. The terms of salvation are these, that Christ the shepherd will do everything. David, are you well pleased with these terms, that you will be the helpless lost sheep, and Christ the Son of God will be the good shepherd. He will come to you where you are. He will put you on his shoulders. He will take you home. He will give you all the strength you need. He will be your righteousness. He will be your strength. He will be your all and in all. He will be made of God unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He will give you the faith that you need to come to him. He will give you the repentance that you need. He will give you all that you need. David, are you happy with these terms? Do you consent to them? And that's what the Lord is saying to you. You consent to these terms that Christ would do all, that Christ would do all, and that you would have the part of the lost sheep, guilty, lost, and ruined, helpless, and that Christ would come to you where you are and would save your soul. Now, there is, of course, saving faith bound up with it in the offer of the gospel. It's as it were, David was saying, seeing something like this. The Lord is a shepherd for me. That's the language of saving faith. We say it's different from being able to say the Lord is my shepherd, though we acknowledge the difference might appear subtle. But there is a difference. We said that to say the Lord is my shepherd is the language of assurance. But the language of faith is this: the Lord is a shepherd for me. The Lord is a suitable shepherd, and the Lord in the offer of the gospel is made over to me if I will consent to be saved by him on his terms in a way that gives all the glory to him. Are you willing on these terms? Where are you ever made with that Christ would do all and would have all the glory in your salvation, and you are consenting to that? Your consent to these terms is the element of saving faith, whereby you were trusting upon the shepherd, coming to see that he is a shepherd for me, not just a shepherd for lost sheep in general, for sinners in general, but a shepherd made over in the offer to you in particular. And saving faith was saying that it would have the Lord as its shepherd on his own terms. That moment in union, my saving faith is formed between the sinner and the shepherd. The sinner has now a justified sin, has a right to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and now in possession. Although we say that that's the language of assurance, and there's such a thing as a sinner justified, the saving faith saying, with assurance in this sense, a persuasion and certainty of the suitability and all sufficiency of the shepherd, and seeing that they have a right to that shepherd, and taking that shepherd on his own terms, and saying, the Lord is a shepherd for me. I will have no other shepherd. I desire no other shepherd. But yet, not understanding yet their experience, to be able to say, the Lord, my shepherd, and the Lord makes known, and he has his own ways of making known, to give light to the sinner and what has taken need to drink the water of life. I need restoring grace when I go astray. I will need fresh pardons. I will need leading. I cannot guide myself. I need wisdom to be led in the paths of righteousness. I will have times of spiritual darkness in the valley of the shadow of death. I will have needs then. I will have enemies. Enemies in the world. Enemies in my soul. Enemies among men. I will need a table, a provision made in their presence. I will need at times to have my head anointed with the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And at times I will be so weary and weak and sad, I will need something of the joy of the Lord to be my strength, my cup to run over. And indeed, if I look at my whole life, I will be needing, I will have want such that goodness and mercy must follow me all my days, every day of my life. And I have need of glorification. I have need of preservation to the end. I have need of glorification. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David had wants, and so do you. And you're conscious of them. Without thee, I can do nothing. The Lord would have you to be conscious of your wants. The Apostle Paul was conscious of his wants, conscious of his needs, conscious of his own weakness. Indeed, the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh in order that he would feel his wants and feel his weakness in face of all other trials. Why does the Lord bring his people to that? It's so that they would be seen in all their strength, all the wisdom, all the supply, all the provisions, not in themselves, but it's in the shepherd. It's in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said it's the language of faith. If they were to look at their feelings, if they were to look at their experience,